For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rembert Aranda. I had the pleasure and privilege to be married to Catherine since February of 1973. This part of the service, have some thoughts to share with you about Catherine from the family and from some friends who known her for some time, but and were spread out throughout the world, and who for various reasons could not be here, but wanted to share some thoughts with you about her. Would like to begin by letting somebody express his thoughts about her directly, who has the honor of being the person in this room who knew her the longest. And one that Catherine loved very, very much, her brother Jack Copper. Jack?
Well, certainly, I want to thank all of you for coming to show your affection for who to me was always Taffy. So forgive me, but growing up, she was my big sister, Taffy, and that's how I remember her, will remember her. And this is, I guess in some way, especially sort of painful, poignant for me, you know, throughout my adult life, and particularly in the last 10 years, I've been traveling a lot and around the world, literally. And every holiday period, Taffy would contact me by phone or by email, and, you know, Jack, are you gonna come visit us this holiday? And certainly in the last several years, the answer had always been no. But this year, she actually called me, left a message on my recorder just a day or so before she died, and her voice was strong, and you know, Jack, are you going to come? And this year I thought, yeah, you know, it's time we catch up. I've been doing a lot. I know she had undertaken some new projects here in the Charlottesville area, and so it's surprising, frustrating, painful to be reminiscing rather than catching up. And I guess as I thought about our growing up, you know, we grew up right across the mountain in Waynesboro. What sort of became clear to me, which of course I, it's typical, never really articulated to Taffy, but you know, she was an inspiration, much more than I knew as things were happening. I mean, you know, doesn't look like it now, but years ago I was actually a pretty decent basketball player. But the reason was, you know, my older sister, who was a cheerleader and knew all the really good basketball players, well, you know, I got to know them, and because of her, you know, they helped me. And you know, I wasn't good enough to play at Virginia, but I had a really, you know, sports-wise fulfilling high school. And it really was because of Taffy. You know, I wouldn't have done it on my own. I just kind of drifted. All the Copper family was pretty smart, so school wasn't a particular problem. But there again, the second inspiration. I can clearly remember Christmas after her first year at Goucher College, which in and of itself was an achievement. And she brought some collection of friends, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen guys and gals. They came to Waynesboro, Virginia, and I remember just kind of sitting around the edges and listening to them talk. And, gee, this is what people talk about in college. I mean, they were talking about ideas. You know, it was no longer sports. I was still interested in sports at that time. But for the first time, I actually heard people, you know, talking about ideas. And, gee, you know, I wonder what that's all about. And, you know, several years later, and again, she was basically 4 years older than me, so she basically did everything first. And I can clearly remember my first, quote, real job out of college. I had done some things at Virginia, babysitting a computer while I was in school, and then working at NRAO here in Charlottesville. But that wasn't a real job. Our mother had worked at NRAO, and so, you know, I sort of got that. But in my first real job, I worked for Antioch College, Graduate School of Education. And they were scattered all around the country. And I had to go to New Hampshire. Of course, this was way before she lived in New Hampshire. And on the way, I stopped in New York City because that's where Taffy lived. And I wanted to see how a working person lived. And she had this, you know, this nice brownstone in New York City. I was amazed. How did she get this? And then when I asked her what she did, she was a planner for New York City. You know, my sister was an urban planner for New York City, the biggest city in the country. Gee, I didn't know that. And it was such a comfort to me because I was going off to this place where there was some friction between the dean of the graduate school who I worked for and the people that actually ran this center. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was just sort of an emissary. And to be able to stop and just talk with Taffy and, you know, listen to her talk about her real world was just such a comfort. And, you know, now it's nothing for me to get on a plane and go to Australia or go to Qatar. But in 70 or 60 something, I forgive me, I'm hazy on the dates, but she got on a plane and went to Europe, to the Jung Institute. You know, she was interested in psychology. And I don't remember the details. I just remember hearing from my mother, you know, your sister's gone off to Europe. I mean, amazing. You know, a young woman at that time, on her own, just kind of picking up and going to try to gain, you know, gain some knowledge. And then I guess it was in New York when Rem and Taffy met, but what was more impressive to me was when they went off to England and had the wisdom to have Kate in England, so she has 3 or 4 passports and, you know, can go wherever she wants, whenever she wants. And as I said, in the, you know, basically the last 5 to 10 years, as I bought a company, and basically it's an artificial intelligence software company. And yet, you know, Taffy, with no background whatsoever, several times, she was the first to point out to me a book, you know, that she thought I would be interested in, that, you know, 6 months later, yeah, I'd start seeing it pop up in some of the AI circles that I travel in. So regardless of what she was doing, she was always thinking about me and I think my other siblings. Here's something that you might be interested in. Here's something that you know, I want to share with you. And so coming sort of full circle to the present, that's the pain. That, yeah, she didn't know this, but I had actually just gotten out of the hospital, so I thought, you know, we'd commiserate over our illnesses and, you know, harass each other about we're not taking good enough care of ourselves and you know, these are the things we have to start doing and, you know, compare our lists of what our doctors have told us. And well, you know, now I have to go over my own list and I'm going to be a little more careful. But to summarize, you know, again, I being unable to catch up with her, I hope what comes out of the reminiscing is that you know, she was creative. to me, again, of course, in retrospect, but she was an inspiration, and she was a caring and a loving sister, and I'm sure a caring and a loving wife and mother. So thank you, and I'm sure she's happy to see you here. Goodbye, Taffy.
The other comments that you will hear today from few from me, which I will endeavor to be brief out of consideration to you, and some from others who have mailed or gotten them to us to be read in their name, all have a very personal character. They have the character of people who knew Taffy as I knew her. One of the oddities of my nuclear family is that for some reason it's all of its members, it turns out, have sometime after childhood decided that they wanted to be known by a different name than their childhood name. And those who knew my wife, the longest, knew her as Taffy, and those who knew her more recently know her as Catherine, much as my daughter is known by the oldest as Kate, and by the newer as Olivia. But true to fashion, my daughter was very original in that her name switch was to take up her first name, which she had used formerly as an initial. But I digress. In my state where it's hard to be attentive to attention. The remainder of these remarks really will be of a very personal character, as I say. Except for the next. The next is an institutional document. It's a document not written by a person, but as sterile and formal an institutional act as expression as can be obtained. It is an act of government. And before reading that to you, I want to point out that for those of you who might not know that my beloved wife was a legislator for many years in New Hampshire. She served in a variety of capacities, including the legislature, which at that time was and had been for many years controlled by the Republican Party, much in the way that that of Massachusetts had always been, was and had always been controlled by the Democratic Party. But a time passes, and many of those Massachusetts folk moved up north, and now the state house in New Hampshire is controlled by Democrats also. In this time of change, bipartisanship has not been the note of the new legislature, but as in other parts of our land, political fractiousness and animosity has all too often governed. And this is especially conspicuous in actions taken by the majority concerning members of the other party. The act that I'm going to read to you is an extraordinary document. It is a resolution passed by the State House of New Hampshire yesterday honoring Catherine. I will read it to you for two reasons. One is that in its brief and matter-of-fact observations, it may tell those of you who, all of you, something that you didn't know about her work in New Hampshire. But the other is because it is evidence of what I think was her greatest gift, and it's hard to pick just the one, but it was political leadership, her capacity to bring people of all manner of different thought, opinions, beliefs, and interests together. And that very fractious house, that very fractious environment that I described at the beginning. In death, she brought together to pass a resolution in which they could agree. That's quite extraordinary, I think. As I will read that now, State of New Hampshire, House of Representatives, a declaration memorializing former Representative M. Catherine Aranda, where it is with profound sadness and deep regret that we have learned of the death of our former legislative colleague, M. Catherine Aranda, formerly of Derry, New Hampshire, and most recently of Nellis Ford, Virginia. And whereas M. Catherine Aranda was elected to 3 terms in the New Hampshire House of Representatives, having resigned partway through her third term, and whereas M. Catherine Aranda served on the House Environment and Agriculture Committee during her service to the legislature, and whereas M. Catherine Aranda served her community as well as a commissioner on the Derry Housing and Redevelopment Authority from 84 to 95, and as a member of the Derry Planning Board from 84 to 88, so be it declared by her former colleagues in the New Hampshire House of Representatives that M. Catherine Aranda be granted highest praise and recognition for her dedication and exemplary legislative service, and for her service to the state of New Hampshire. And be it further declared that expressions of heartfelt sympathy be extended to her family, and that a suitable copy of this declaration be prepared for presentation to her family. Speaker of the House, Terry Norelli. My daughter will read some of these.